Why? Well, there are very good reasons why. One, the misrepresenting of some Muslims to the concept of jihad, so much so that it became synonymous with terrorism. Okay? The first issue we have is that some individuals among the Muslims have done such a horrible job in carrying out what they thought was jihad, so much so that jihad became synonymous in name and in concept with terrorism. And needless to say, every Muslim listening to me knows and recognizes that Islam does not entertain terrorism as they have it defined in this day and time. Because the term itself, terrorizing others, is an English word. And it may apply when a little boy scares the heck out of his young sister. He scares sister and freaks her out. We linguistically can say he is terrorizing her, meaning he is causing terror and terror to be extremely scared and terrified. We can linguistically say he has. So we're not intending that definition of terrorism, because that may be valid at times. We are intending the terrorism that is defined in the modern world, wherein people are wronged. A group of people terrorize and scare and oppress and subdue another group of people or individuals or whatever, but not in the name of justice, rather in the name of oppression and transgression. Because of that, Muslims themselves have missed out on the basic understanding of jihad. And does Islam really encourage and propagate the killing of innocent people? Does it allow that you blow up a train, or you blow up a building, or you blow a market, or anything of this nature? Does Islam actually allow such actions? I will endeavor and strive to prove to you, per the sound, authentic, unchangeable Islamic teachings, that what is being done today at times in the name of Islam has nothing at all to do with Islam. First, allow me to define the term jihad. Jihad, jahada, yajhudu, jihadan, juhdan, jahidan, ishtahada, yashtahidu, mushtahidun. These are all derivatives of the root word, translated into English as struggling, exerting effort, and making, exerting effort, struggling, and striving. These are the closest English words I can think of, according to my very basic and limited knowledge. These are the three words which can possibly, they can symbolize, or they can denote the meaning of jihad. Striving, struggling, and exerting a lot of effort. Now, this particular term in Islam has been used in multiple contexts dealing with actual warfare, battles, armed struggle, and others dealing generally with the concept of striving. For example, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily, now pay attention to the words, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا. This is the plural form, it's a plural past tense of the verb mujahid. And so the waw denotes and do or yujahidu. And so here Allah says, and those who strove, or it could be understood as present tense, those who strive in our cause, we shall guide them to the path, and verily Allah is ever with the those who excel in their deeds. You will find that the scholars, when commenting on this ayah, they understand it in the general meaning of the word, and they do not limit the meaning to warfare. So anyone who does jihad in this sense, anyone who strives to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, will be acquiring the promise which Allah gave, that Allah will guide this person accordingly. Anyone who makes an effort to enter into Islam, or anyone who makes an effort to learn Islam, or anyone who makes an effort within Islam to be a better Muslim, and Allah promised that He will guide them to do that. Allah promised He will guide them to do that. Alhamdulillah. So, the term then can be used in this fashion, and it can be used and can be used in the fashion or the context of warfare. And this is where the problem really exists. Many people complain and criticize Islam for having allowed the concept of armed struggle. However, these people who are often biased and have double standards fail to realize that there isn't a single country, there isn't a single power or country or state on earth except that it has military power as means of defending its ground. And it's of you having a military power, weaponry, and anything of this sort which is aimed at protecting your citizens and ensuring that your land is is not attacked and vandalized is not occupied by outsiders. No one on earth has ever complained on the existence of military power in every single nation on earth. And just look at World War I and World War II, and look at the outcome and the number of people that died in the process. And that is the biggest evidence that military power time, nations killing nations for land. So then, what is the problem with Islam having a similar right? The problem is that they do not realize that Islam is not merely Islam is a way of life and a state. It's an Islamic nation, and every nation is entitled to military power to protect its honor, its land, and its citizens, and Islam is no exception. So why is it then, when other countries engage in war, no one complains about the existence of weapons or even their usage of weapons, but whenever Muslims are engaged in something way, way less than that, fingers are pointed at them and accusations are made against them that they are terrorists and terrorizing the people? This is a big lie, and this is big injustice, and this is a horrible form of oppression against the rights of the Muslims, who are often called names and often accused of heinous crimes even though they are simply defending themselves as every nation on earth defends itself. So this idea that countries have the right to defend themselves is something that is approved and acknowledged. And so why is a distinction made with Islam? This remains to be the maze and the mystery which they keep the people blinded from knowing. They keep it away and hidden in order to fool the general masses. But my brothers and sisters in Islam, we cannot be fooled, and we will not allow to be fooled. And we are way more knowledgeable and educated to be fooled concerning the religion which we follow. Alhamdulillah. We know the truth, and we're not afraid. We're not afraid of anyone but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This particular concept of Islam is legitimate, just as legitimate as the 5 daily prayers, the fasting of Ramadan, the paying of zakah, and the hajj which you do to the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is just as legit. And we can further our argument by saying, forget about countries, let us look at other religions. What would you say, and what would you label, and what would you categorize the crusaders among the Christians as? No history book and no historical facts and evidences can deny and negate the horrible, outlandish, outrageous crimes committed in the name of Christianity, particularly against the Muslims. And the Bible is full of it. If you want to read a book which has detailed explanation of warfare, of mass murder, of killing anyone and everything except virgin girls, then upon you is the Bible. You read the Bible and see what it is claimed that God commanded Moses and children of Israel to do, when He commanded them to go to some of the nations and kill everything and everyone, even the donkeys and the oxes and the horses, and leave nothing but virgin girls. And so they kept for themselves 32,000 virgin girls. 32,000 virgin girls. How did they know they were virgin? They must have tried them out first. And when they realized she's not a virgin, they killed her. When they realized she was a virgin, they kept her. That's in the Bible. In Luke 14, chapter 14, verse 9, it is said that Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Rather, I came to bring fire, and how I wish the earth was already kindled." And He was described in other chapters of the Bible as coming with the sword dripping blood. With the sword dripping blood. And He came to punish the nations and kill them. So if any Christian wants to complain, then say, look, what your Bible has is what the Quran never mentioned and quoted. This is not an argument. Religions continue to engage in warfare in the name of their religion. However, the main and major distinction between Islam and the rest is that they do it in the name of falsehood, and we do it in the name of truth. When Muslims engage in warfare, mind you, why do they engage in warfare to begin with? Some may say, why? You should turn the other cheek. Huh? If someone slaps your man, say, yeah, easily said, but not easily done. Let me see you do it. Find the average person in the street whom, if you were to punch him in his right, you know, cheek, he will tell you, excuse me, you missed the left one. Here you go now. Yeah, go ahead and punch me. Thank you very much. Then he kisses you and gives you $100 and he sends you home. Find this person. When you find him, give me a call. I'll be waiting. Yeah. Yeah, right. People talk too much, but they don't act upon what they say. The average man is revengeful. And you come into someone's house and you tie him up in the corner and you rape his wife and kill his children Jesus, this man. Let loose, and he will turn you to a hot dog. Yeah, he will turn you to some hot dogs. And even the Lord. Assalamu alaikum. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. Internet, can you hear me? Am I being heard clearly? MashaAllah, I was not into it. I'm working. When did you come? To be frank with you, which I get, from brother mine, I think internet. When we both work together, it okay, Habibi. Sorry. Hello, are you hearing me? I think it's my neighbor. See, we share the internet. Actually, I'm subscribed to his internet, and when he comes to his shop and he starts using his internet, this is when we suffer. So I don't know how to go independently here, but we'll see how Allah facilitates. Ala kulli hal, back to our discussion now that the voice is working, in order not to waste any time. So what is, why does Islam allow actually the Muslims to engage in warfare? First and foremost, we need to realize the following. Islam is the only, and I'm putting an underline multiple times, highlight in italics, with bold letters, with the hugest font you can think of, the word only. Only true religion of God. Islam is the only, with all the emphasis I mentioned earlier, true religion of God. It's the only means of salvation for the human beings. They have, nor will any other way of life or any other belief system or any other methodology in worship, never, unless it is in the religion and from the religion and of the religion of Islam. This is important because when we want to make a comparison between Islam and other religions, we must realize that when Muslims defend Islam, they are defending the only source of guidance for mankind. And when other religions defend their religion, they're defending a source of misguidance and deviance for mankind. And these two are not synonyms. Let me tell you something. Because Islam is the true religion of God, every human being is entitled to receive its message. Okay? Because Islam is the only religion of God, everyone is entitled to receive its message. And let me give you a similitude or a parable. The similitude of Islam is like oxygen, or let's just say air. Every human being is entitled to breathe air, and because of this basic right, which is divinely given, no one has the right to prevent people from breathing. Because air does not belong to them, and Allah allowed and decreed that human beings and animals need air to survive. Of course, and other animals which may not. But let's just deal with human beings. Forget about animals. Allah does survive without breathing. Islam is as important as if you can't live without breathing air, you can gain guidance. So anyone who tries to see, anyone who tries to become an obstacle anyone who prevents people from air, then those who are in charge, I mean, the right is to deliver people the air. Can you hear me? Hello? Muslims out there, is it better now? Okay, alhamdulillah. I guess I need to speak to him, tell him not to come to a shop when I have a lecture. I don't think he's going to like it very much. But anyways, Islam, then everyone has the right to receive the message of Islam. If people prevent the message of Islam, if governments or people in charge prevent the message of Islam from making it to the citizens, then they are wronging and oppressing these citizens who have the right to receive the message of Islam, because with Islam they're able to worship Allah, acquire a place in paradise, and attain the ultimate salvation. Now, pay attention to this wonderful approach and methodology in delivering the message. Of Islam to the rest of the world. The first in Islam books in Vladi in any location, first thing I want you to realize that 1400 years ago they didn't have internet, they didn't have satellite dishes, they didn't have airplanes, they didn't even have cars, not even motorcycles, not even bicycles. Alright? So the only way they would usually send mail is with a bird, right? And the bird may get shot on the way, it may get lost, or it may, you know, somebody may cook it and eat it before it makes it to the person whom they sent the mail to. And that was as good as it got for them in terms of post office. So at these conditions, the only way you can deliver the message of Islam is face to face, one on one, with the presence of Muslims in the entire world, and them taking over the entire world as means of providing the platform on which Islam is conveyed. To the people. Because of this, then it will spread around the world. Now when Muslims spread around the world, they had the following three steps which they followed. first they will invite that nation that come with as Allah. لقد تعبت وإياكم كثيرا يا لها من مشكلة أيها المسلمون أتسمعونني ما شاء الله يا لسعادتي Can you all okay that's it was in the of Islam Muslim all over used to first you know invite the people with wisdom to Islam when the people refused. Now the people embrace Islam, by the way, that's how most people became Muslim, alhamdulillah. The problem is solved, Muslims will take over, and the people over there would embrace Islam, and everybody would be given their rights, and so on and so forth, keeping in mind that Islam maintained and observed justice for everyone who lived under the governing or the government of the Islamic State. No one was wronged. That was the first option. If the people, however, refuse, they were invited to Islam and they said, we